changing Alabama. Chapter preview, terms, agricultural economy, sharecropper, credit, tenant farmer, normal school, expand, Coke, impurity, suburb, civil rights, Jim Crow laws, tuition. From 1865 to 1900, Alabama underwent changes in agriculture, industry, transportation, and education. The state's needs were great, but many people were willing to work for progress. After the war, some Alabama citizens worked to get the state readmitted to the Union. Others pushed for economic recovery. During the Civil War, many industries and railroads were destroyed. Many farms were covered with weeds. There was a lot of work to be done before life returned to normal. Chapter 9, Section 1, Agriculture. As you read, look for who were sharecroppers and tenant farmers, the importance of international trade in agriculture, terms, agricultural economy, sharecropper, credit, tenant farmer, normal school. Between 1865 and 1900, most people in Alabama lived on farms. The state had an agricultural economy, farm-related. That means its wealth depended on farming. With the war over, cotton could again be shipped to New York and European markets. Cotton returned to being the state's major farm crop. Freedmen. After the war, many freedmen left plantations to move to towns. They needed houses, food, and medicine. They also needed ways to earn a living. Because teaching slaves to read had been illegal in the South, few blacks could read and write. The lack of education limited the types of jobs the freedmen could find. The Freedmen's Bureau tried to help African Americans find work, but there were not many jobs. Some freedmen went from town to town looking for work. Others tried to find jobs on farms. Small farmers. Many small farmers came back from the war to find their houses and barns in bad shape. Their tools were rusted or broken and needed repairs. They did not have money to buy what they needed. It was hard for these people to start farming again. Plantation owners. Most plantation owners still had their land, but it was covered with weeds. They needed help to clear the land and begin growing crops. Plantation owners had land and living quarters for workers, but they had no money to pay wages to the workers. Freedmen needed a place to live and a way to make a living. Some poor whites and a few freedmen had enough land for their basic food needs, but they did not have enough land for growing both food and cotton. Freedmen, poor whites, and plantation owners came up with two ways that seemed to work. The new ways of farming were called sharecropping and tenant farming. Sharecroppers and tenant farmers. A sharecropper lived in a house on the property of a landowner. He used the landowner's seed, plow, and mule to grow a crop. The worker agreed to give the landowner a share of the harvest. Until the crop was sold, the landowner often provided a worker with food, medicine, and other supplies on credit. Buying on credit means that you get the item now and pay for it over time. If a sharecropper harvested 20 bales of cotton and agreed to give the landowner half, each got 10 bales. But remember the items bought on credit? After he sold his part of the cotton and paid his bills, a sharecropper had little money left. It was hard to save money to buy land or tools. Landowners had a different deal with tenant farmers. This was because tenant farmers owned their tools and farm animals. They also bought their own seed. At the end of the year, the tenant farmer paid the landowner his share. It could be money or an agreed-on part of the annual crop. The lives of both sharecroppers and tenant farmers were hard. However, these ways of farming gave some freedmen and poor whites a way to care for their families. At the same time, landowners could keep their farms in operation. Farm improvement. Most Alabama farmers made little money during the first years after the war. Farmers had to deal with bad weather, insects, poor soil, and low prices for their harvested crops. These things made it hard for them to earn a living. In order to harvest bigger crops, farmers had to learn new ways to farm their land. Two schools in Alabama helped farmers learn how to take better care of their land. They also helped farmers learn to grow different crops. Schools to help farmers and train teachers. During the Civil War, the U.S. Congress passed the Morrill Act of 1862. Its purpose was to give farmers and working people a chance to go to college. The Morrill land grants gave land to states for use in setting up colleges. These schools were to teach agriculture, engineering, military training, and other subjects. In 1869, Alabama applied for its land grant under the Morrill Act. The land grant was 30,000 acres of land for each of the state's members in the U.S. Congress. Alabama received 240,000 acres. This land could be sold and the money used to run the schools, but the buildings and land for the colleges had to come from other sources. Auburn University. The townspeople of Auburn offered the state 100 acres of land for a college. Alabama Methodist donated the buildings of the East Alabama Male College in Auburn. Because it had land and buildings, Auburn received the land grant. It was called the Agricultural and Mechanical College of Alabama. In 1899, the name was changed to Alabama Polytechnic Institute. In 1960, the name was changed again to Auburn University. Alabama A&M University. The Alabama legislature denied black people the opportunity to attend Auburn. The state colored normal and industrial school was chartered in 1873 in Huntsville. Schools that trained teachers were called normal schools. This school also worked on solving farm problems and sharing ideas with farmers. The Morrill Act of 1890 allowed the college to apply for a land grant. The Alabama legislature made it an African American land grant college. The name was changed to Alabama Agricultural and Mechanical University, Alabama A&M, in 1969. Tuskegee University. Lewis Adams, a former slave, worked to establish a school for his people. A state law founded a Negro normal school in Tuskegee, today's Tuskegee University. On July 4, 1881, Booker T. Washington became the school's first president. Tuskegee University achieved land grant status in 1899. Dr. George Washington Carver joined Tuskegee staff in 1896. He worked successfully to help all farmers grow sweet potatoes, peanuts, and soybeans. The farmers learned to preserve the soil's fertility by using crop rotation. Farmers came from all over the South to the college. The college also went to the farms with a traveling classroom. This educational tool was called the movable school. Thomas Monroe Campbell was a Tuskegee graduate. He was also the state's first African American extension agent. Campbell used the movable school to teach black farmers new and better methods for farming. Teachers at these schools tried new ways of growing crops and taking care of farm animals. When they were sure a new way was better, they shared it with farmers in the state. The Grange. The Grange was a social and educational group for farmers and their families. In 1877, there were 678 chapters of The Grange in Alabama. The group helped farmers work together for common goals. The Grange pushed for rural mail delivery and other policies that helped farmers. Think it through. 1. What happened to many farms during the Civil War? 2. Why did most people live and work on farms between 1865 and 1900? 3. What were the differences between a tenant farmer and a sharecropper? 4. What two groups helped Auburn University get land grant status? 5. How did Dr. Carver's work help farmers?